Now the text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon my heart for this meeting this morning is verse number 32 of Acts chapter number 20. It says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God, and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." Our Bible reading tells of Paul's farewell to the church at Ephesus. Paul had labored there for some 3 years as a missionary, as an evangelist, and as a pastor. The time had now come for him to leave, and from Ephesus he would go to Jerusalem, and from Jerusalem he would be taken as a prisoner to Rome for the sake of the gospel. And there he was to be martyred for his Christian faith. During his time in Ephesus, Paul used every opportunity to do good to both the saved and the unsaved alike. Despite much opposition, he served the Lord faithfully with humility of heart, teaching God's word and preaching the gospel. Notice what he says here in the middle of verse 18 through to the end of verse 21 of the chapter. He says, "Ye know that from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Following his appeal here to his own ministry and the manner of his life, Paul then charges the elders at Ephesus to take good care of God's flock and do all they can to protect it from the attack of the devil. In verse 28 and 29 he says, "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost have made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which ye have purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock." And then when we come to verse 32 of the chapter, you see there how Paul commends here the elders and the Ephesian church to God in prayer. He says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up, and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." By those words you see there how Paul leaves this church at Ephesus in the safe hands of the Lord. Now this morning it is these words of Acts chapter 20 verse 32 that I want us to consider together today. In the will of the Lord, this is my last Sabbath morning with you as pastor of this congregation and this flock. Under the Lord, we've sought to labor with you here in this part of God's vineyard for almost 13 years. These past years have been happy and have been blessed. And we thank you all for your fellowship and for your support in the work of God. We are deeply thankful to the Lord for the measure of blessing that we have known here these years. I believe God has further strengthened and established his witness, his work here. Also, he has enabled you and I together as a congregation to reach many here with the gospel. We rejoice in those who have come to saving faith in Christ during our time in this part of God's vineyard. And as we move on in the will of God to Enniskillen, I trust and pray that God will continue to bless and to prosper his witness here in Market Hill. Why? For there is an ever-increasing need in this community for a church that faithfully stands for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. In this day of awful spiritual darkness and apostasy, there is a need for a witness that is separate from ecumenism, from modernism, and from the terrible chaos and confusion of the charismatic movement. And to encourage you as a congregation to go on with God and to faithfully witness for Christ, I want us to look today at this farewell commendation of Paul to the Ephesian church. When he says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." As we look at this commendation, there are three things I want to set before you briefly this morning. First of all, I want you to see here the object of Paul's commendation. He says, "Now, brethren, I commend you to God." Notice that word "commend." That word "command" there, it means to commit to someone for safekeeping. You think of a person putting their wealth in their bank or depositing it in the bank for safekeeping. Well, by prayer, Paul here was commending, he was committing the Ephesian church and the Ephesian believers into the hands of the Lord for the Lord's protection, for the Lord's care, and for the Lord's provision. And my, there was no safer place for these Christians to be than in the hand of the Lord, their Creator and their Redeemer. My, speaking of God's people in 1 Peter chapter 1, Peter says that they are kept by the power of God divine. Likewise, brethren and sisters in Christ, as we part from you this morning, let me assure you all of our prayers for you. And I pray, yes, that God will keep his hand upon you all for good. Yes, in God's work, ministers come and ministers go. That is how it is in the work of God. And circumstances change. Nothing remains the same. But I speak to you today of one who does not change. That is the Lord. He says, "I am the Lord, I change not." Our Savior Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. What a Savior he is. What a God he is. You turn in your Bible back to Psalm 121. And look at these wonderful words of promise here regarding the Lord's keeping power in the life of his people and the life of his church. Psalm 121, verses 3 to 5, he says, the psalmist there is speaking of the Lord's keeping power in the life of his church. He says, "He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is thy shield upon thy right hand." And believer, keep these words before you. The Lord is thy keeper. The Lord is the shield upon thy right hand. The Lord is one who will not suffer thy foot to be moved. During the vacancy here, I pray this, that the Lord will look after you, that he will superintend his flock. But I also would encourage you all to look to him afresh. Look to him for help. Look to him for guidance. Look to him for blessing and for leading. As to the next man who should come here to pastor the flock, look afresh to the Lord by faith, because the Lord is a friend that sticketh closer than any brother. And I would encourage you all to be faithful, especially in the place of prayer. The prayer meetings before the services on the Lord's Day, make it your business to be there. The prayer meeting in the midweek, make it your business to be there. Keep everything else free, set it aside, to be at the place where prayer is wont to be made. Yes, here Paul, he commends these Ephesians to the Lord in prayer, but as well as commending them to the Lord in prayer, you'll notice something else here about his commendation. He also commends them to God's word. For he goes on here in verse 32 of Acts chapter 20, he says, also, he says, "I commend you," notice it, "to the word of his grace." Notice that phrase there, the word of his grace. That speaks of the Bible. That speaks of the Holy Scriptures. And there he is telling the people of Ephesus to cleave to the Bible, to cleave to the Holy Scriptures, the precepts of the word of God, the commands of God's word. Lean upon the promises of God's word, he was telling them. Hold fast to the doctrines of God's word. Hold fast to the glorious gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ that is found in the word of God. And brethren and sisters in Christ, in our meeting this morning, I would urge you also to hold fast to the Word of God, to the Holy Scriptures, and to the testimony of God's Word. And as we've often said in this pulpit, and we'll always say it until the day we can preach no more, hold fast to the Authorized Version, the King James Version of the Scriptures. It is the best version for every child of God to read and to study. All the others are but as dust in comparison with the gold that the Authorized King James Version of the Scriptures. Dear people of God, never forsake the Bible. Cleave to the Bible. Hold fast to the Word of God. Read the Scriptures. Cherish the Scriptures. Seek by God's grace to obey the Scriptures. And seek to support all you can the faithful preaching of God's Word from this pulpit. Be at God's house, Sabbath morning, Sabbath evening with your family. Come to the midweek Bible study as well. Do not depart from the Word of God. Paul was saying here to the Ephesian church, hold fast to the Word of God. Hold fast, dear people, to God's Word, and God will bless you. God will use you. Turning your Bible over to Joshua chapter number 1. Joshua chapter number 1. And look with me, please, at verses 7 and 8 of these great words of the Lord to Joshua about holding fast to the Word of God. He says in Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded thee. Turn not from it to the right hand or to the left, that thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, and thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Notice this wonderful promise, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. God blesses those who hold to His Word, who hold to His truth. My many today in professing Christendom, even sadly in professing evangelical circles, are turning away from the Word of God. Don't you follow that line, dear people. Hold fast to the Word of God, to the testimony of His Word. The hymn writer says, Lord, thy word abideth, our footsteps guideth, who its truth believeth, light and joy receiveth. Child of God, may that be the burden of your heart as well, as an individual and as a congregation, the days that lie ahead. Yes, the object of Paul's commendation. Notice secondly, this morning here from Acts chapter 20 and the verse 32, notice the source of Paul's commendation. You look at the verse there and look at the words that he uses very carefully in the verse. You'll see that the source of Paul's commendation arose from a deep concern within his own heart for the Ephesian church. This was a concern that did not come naturally to Paul, no. This concern was but the fruit, the effect, the outworking of the grace of God in his life and the outworking of the grace of God in the lives of God's people in the church at Ephesus. And because of that grace, you'll notice there how Paul uses the word brethren. He says, and now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace. Think of that word, brethren. It's a family word. Paul, you see, regarded himself as being one of these people. He regarded himself as being united with this people. He and they belong to the same family, the family of faith, the family of God. Through God's grace, he and they were born again of the same Spirit, the Holy Spirit of God. Through God's grace, he and they together had been called out of the darkness of Satan's kingdom. And they'd been called into the marvelous light of the kingdom of God. And because of that grace, Paul cared about this people. He was much concerned for them in his heart and in his soul. Paul was one who had a genuine care and concern for the good of others, especially the people of God. And you see that in his writings in the New Testament, time after time. Think of what he said about the people in Rome. He said, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." He had a burden for his own countrymen that they'd be saved. Think of what he said to the church at Corinth. He spoke to them daily about the care of all the churches upon him. He had a concern, a burden for the well-being of the people of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, is there not here a tremendous example for you and I? As Paul had a concern for God's people, so it must ever be the same with you and I as believers. The Bible says, as we have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Turning your Bible back to John's Gospel, chapter 13. And look with me, please, there at the words of Christ to his own people, to his own church, to you and I who are saved. John chapter 13, verse 34 and verse 35. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." See how important this whole matter is. The Lord here speaks to his disciples and he says, by your love, your care, your concern for one another, your compassion for one another, he says, all men will know that you're my disciples. This will be a witness for the Lord, a witness for the Savior. Brethren and sisters in Christ, we are to have a care and a concern and a burden one for another. And I encourage you to follow that pattern and to serve the Lord together, worship the Lord together, support one another together here in the work of God, and it will be a witness, it will be a testimony for Christ in the community here of Market Hill and further afield. And brethren and sisters in Christ, it is out of our regard for your spiritual good and well-being that we too commend you to God in prayer today and to the word of God's grace. It is my prayer, yes, that God's work here in Market Hill will continue to go forward. Yes, in your personal life as a believer, in your church life, in your own family life, and in the work of God, I pray that each one of you who know and love the Lord today, that you will know the blessing of the Lord, that blessing of the Lord that maketh rich, that addeth no sorrow with it, that you'll know the blessing, the fullness of the blessing of God upon you. If you're still not saved in this meeting this morning, our prayer is that you would become one with us in Christ. How? By you coming in faith, simple childlike faith to Christ. By putting your faith and trust in Christ and resting upon his sacrifice alone for your salvation. That is how you become a child of God. That is how you become one with the people of God. The Bible says we are all the children of God by faith which is in Christ Jesus. To be a child of God, you must put your faith, your trust in Christ. Embrace him by faith as your own and personal Savior. Accept him as your substitute for you upon the cross. Trust him as your own and personal Savior. And that's a prayer for you, whether you're young in the meeting this morning or old. If you're not saved today, you'll come by faith to Christ. The Bible says, as many as received him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Tell me today, are you trusting in Christ? Will you meet with us in glory? Not through anything that you have done or may ever do or our church will do, but by faith in Christ, the heavenly Lamb. Oh, that today, if you're not saved, you'll close in with Christ and you'll trust him. I must warn you that if you refuse Christ, if you do not trust him as Savior and turn your back upon him, you can never know the forgiveness of your sins. You can never know peace with God. You can never know and be sure of a home in heaven. The Lord says, if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. You'll perish in your sins. If you do not believe on Christ and you trust him as your Savior. Yes, we see the object of Paul's commendation. We see the source of Paul's commendation. Notice one final thing here in this verse today. Notice the outcome of Paul's commendation. Notice what he goes on to say there in verse number 32 of Acts chapter 20. He says, "And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified." By committing the Ephesians to God in prayer, by committing them to the word of God, to the testimony of Christ, what was the outcome? The outcome there, you see, was that they would be built up in their most holy faith, that they would be strengthened in turn. They would know God's blessing upon them. In turn, God's work would prosper in their day and generation and go forward for God. And my, it is indeed the same for all who depend upon God's grace and all who cleave to the word of God. Turn with me, please, over to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter chapter number 5. And the verse number 10, and look at this wonderful verse. What a verse it is to magnify the sufficiency of the grace of God, the life of his people, and the life of his church. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 10 says, "But the God of all grace, who have called us unto eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." And that's what the grace of God does. It makes us perfect. It makes us more and more like Christ. Strengthens us in the things of God. It makes us established, if like rooted and grounded and firmed in the ways of God. Through the word of God, through the grace of God, we're strengthened, we're settled in the things of God. Brethren and sisters in Christ, that's what the grace of God can do for you in your individual life. And in your work and your witness and your testimony here in Market Hill. Believer, the grace of God that saved you is a grace to keep you. Notice how Peter puts it there in 1 Peter 5 verse 10. He says, "The God of all grace, who have called us," notice it, "unto eternal glory," everlasting glory. The grace of God that saves is the grace of God that keeps unto everlasting life. And that grace is sufficient for you day by day to strengthen you, to establish you in your faith and in the ways of God. The Lord says, "My grace is sufficient for you." As you seek to honor God's word in your life and in the work of God, you will know and you will prove the wonderful sufficiency of the grace of God. God will bless you. That's his promise. He says in the book of 1 Samuel, "Them that honor me, I will honor." God cannot lie. In Psalm 84, verse number 11, it says there, "For the Lord God is a sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from them that walk uprightly." Put the Lord first. Honor the Lord. Obey his word. Follow his paths. Rest upon his grace. And as a congregation, no good thing will be withheld from you by the bountiful hand of God. The hymn writer says, "While we do his good will, he abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey." You notice there in Acts chapter 20 and the verse number 32, notice those words there, "to give you," it says, "an inheritance among all them that are sanctified." That inheritance is heaven. The Lord who saved these Ephesians would bring them safely into heaven, into everlasting glory. And believer, this is your great hope today. The Lord who has saved you, the Lord who has been with you throughout your earthly pilgrimage, will keep you unto everlasting life. The Bible says, "He which have begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Oh, believer in Christ, think of what the hymn writer says: strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. And that's your portion today as a believer. Strength for today. Whatever your need is today, whatever your need is in the week that lies before you, not only strength for today and for tomorrow, but bright hope for glory, bright hope for tomorrow, bright hope for being with the Lord forevermore. Oh, go on living for Christ. Go on serving Him. Go on working for Him. Go on witnessing for Him here in Market Hill and wherever else the Lord leads you in His will. And the Lord will bless you. The Lord will use you for His honor and for His glory. Think of what Paul said. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God which is in Christ Jesus. I encourage you all to press on in the work of God and in the cause of Christ. Amen.